God is calling this church to take what he's doing in this place and with the people who are in this place and the great community that you've created in this place. And we want to start taking that and turning it to the outside and start opening the doors and saying, there's life here. God is in our midst, and he's at work in what's happening in this place. And God has placed us in this community, in the Tillicum Gorge area, for a plan and a purpose. There's no accidents for God. There's no, well, this was a good price for a building. This was a building that was open. That when God opened up the opportunity for City Light Church to be in this community, he had a plan. He said, there's something that needs to be done here. And I'm going to put the people that I have in place in this place to do that work. And those people are you. And now those people are me, which I'm very, very excited about. So I want to start out for this next month. I want to step into a bit of a series here because I want to prepare our hearts and our minds for what I believe that God has for us. That as we step out into what God has for us, we need to prepare ourselves. We also need some fans, the whole clips on there. I got plans for that too. Don't worry. We're working on that. But my heart for this next month is I really want to take this time. And I want us as a church that we're not going to be pushing out so much in this next month because I want us to focus on what God has in us. Because as we step out into the call that God has for us, into the mission that God has for us, that we want to prepare ourselves. And I know that we have some new people here, and I'm so happy to have you here. And I believe that this is a call for you also, because in our walk in life, it's so important that we're either in or we're out. That we're going to do this or we're not going to do this. And I truly believe that the people that God has placed in this church right now, you guys are in. So what I really want to look at for this next month is a series called All In. I want us to step in all in. Now, as many of you know, I'm an athlete. I power lift now, but for years, I played rugby for years, and before that, I played football all through high school and a bit into junior ball. And when you play sports, there's no halving anything. There was one season in my junior high year, I was actually in Edmonton, at a school called Jasper Place. And the team that, someone at Jasper Place, JP Rebels. Yeah, Rebels. But that team was something special. To give you the end of the story, that team, we went to the finals. We went undefeated for the whole year. And our final game, we won 64-0. We destroyed everybody in the league. But there's a reason why we destroyed everyone in the league. Because the summer before that, our coach said, listen, guys, we want to win and we're going to win. But to win, you have to give everything your all. You have to either get in or get out. If you want to be on this team, there's no halving it at all. And so for even the summer months, when everyone else was out having fun, like we just had summer, everyone else having fun, we were in the gym. And we had gym days every day. And then if you know Jasper Place, there's a tower. And we would run that tower every day, up and down and up and down and up and down. And we had puke buckets at the bottom. And they were very well used. But we would run that, and then after that, we'd take a small break and we'd be back in the gym. And by the time we entered the season, our skill level, our fitness level was so far above everybody else's that we dominated every game that we played. Because our coach said, if you're in, you're in. If you're not, step off the field. And I pray that this church, and I know that God has for this church, that when we are all in, when we step into this, we're going to dominate every game. That when we step into our community, that we're going to be so full of Christ and so on fire for what God is doing because we've prepared ourselves, we've readied ourselves, that God's grace will be unstoppable in this community because our job, our goal is to make an impact in our community. So scripture we're going to kind of base for the next month off is found in Matthew. If you have your Bibles with you can open them up. If you don't, it'll be on the screen. For me personally, there's just something about reading from a physical text sometimes. So, Jerry, you got me here for this. So we're going to be taking our lead scripture from Matthew 16, and we're going to read verses 21 to 24. Now, 24 is the main text that we're really going to be diving into, but when I read the Word of God, I never want to just read one scripture, because it's important to understand the context of what we're reading. Even though what we're really going to be looking at is verse 24, I want you to understand what came before, that what exactly Jesus was trying to tell people. So we'll start in verse 21. Matthew 16, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, that this shall ever happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Thank you for the reading of God's word. If you want to take a second and bow your heads with me. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here in this place. I thank you for every person that is in this place right now. Father God, you have ordained, you have set it in a place that they would be here now. There is no happenstance. There is nothing that's done by accident, that they may feel like they just happen to be in this church. But Father God, you called them to this place. You want them here, Father God. Whatever you want to speak to their hearts, I pray that your words are spoken to them and that you open up their hearts and their minds to the things that you would have them do. And for us as a church, that as we dive into this, Father God, I pray that we are all in, that we take our lives and we pour our lives at your throne, Father God, that we lay our lives down at your feet and say, Father God, we are all in for you. We surrender our lives to you in all that we do. So we thank you in your name, Heavenly Father. Amen. So like I said, we're going to be looking mostly at verse 24. Where it says to deny yourself. So that's kind of the title of today's sermon, is deny yourself. We're going to be breaking into three parts. So we first want to look at deny yourself. But before I really look at denying ourselves and what that really means, I want to look back a little bit from that. In the verse before that, if you look at all the verses before that, Jesus is finally starting to open up to who he is to his disciples. And you see Peter saying, "No, God, this can't happen to you. Jesus, this will not happen." And you notice Jesus' response is saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan," because his vision, his thoughts are not on the things of God. Church, God is saying, "I want you to put your mind not on the things of this earth, but on the things of heaven." As I spoke the other week, we need to change our focus. We need to be focused on what God has. And in doing so, we're going to have to deny ourselves. There's going to be things that when we focus on what God has for us, that I don't get to do what I want to do. So my first question to you is, what do you desire? What is it that you really want? What is it that you're really focused on? Now, when we look at desire, the desire of a heart refers to a person's hopes and dreams and longings, things that encompass everything from love and fulfillment and purpose. Where your heart is where your body goes. When I first fell in love with my wife, she was all I could think about, because she was the desire of my heart. When I went to work, I was thinking about her. When we first got married and I went to work, it was, I'm going to provide for my wife. And someday, I didn't know it would be that many kids, but someday, my kids. If you don't know, I got a good number of kids. But she was the focus of everything that I had. She was my desire. So first off, if we're going to be all in, you need to know what your desire is. Do you truly desire to be a follower of Jesus? Because if you do desire to be a follower of Jesus, there's going to be a cost to that. Now, the world may say, well, I don't think that's going to be worth it. But I can tell you right now, because time and time again, when we put our focus and our desire on Christ and on Christ alone, even though what happens in this world may not be what the world thinks is going to be a good thing, you will find fulfillment. You will find joy. You will find pleasure. Because the pleasures of this world are fleeting. They may give you a moment of joy, but there's always going to be heartache afterwards. But when our desire is truly to follow Jesus in everything we do, in everything we say, in every action that we have, is where we find true contentment. In James chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, it says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly. You spend it on your passions. When we truly focus our hearts and our minds on God, then our passions change. And what we pray for changes. God wants to change the desires of your heart. He wants to change your passions. And when we truly follow Jesus and we find that the things that we used to want, the fame, the fortune, the money, the playing top-level football or rugby, they don't seem as important. And you look at the people who have attained all these things. It's easy to look at the world and go, wow, look at that person. He's got this car. He's got that. He's achieved everything that I can possibly want to achieve. How many times do we see divorce happen with people? They have all the money in the world. They have all the fame. But are they truly happy? Do they change jobs? Like, well, this job's no longer fulfilling me because they've achieved everything that they wanted to achieve at this job. And they say, I still haven't found what makes me happy. I can guarantee you right now, because we've seen it time and time again throughout all of history, if you try to attain what the world says, what your flesh says, our passions, you may find fleeting joy. I'm not going to tell you that driving a nice car and having lots of money isn't a good thing. So if you want to give me lots of money and let out a car, I'll take it. But I'm not going to find my joy in that. And you will not find your joy in that. This is proven time and time again. Your joy is found only in Christ. And when you turn your eyes to Him, you will find true joy and true happiness. So then what do we need to do? Well, unfortunately, but fortunately, we need to give up some things. But I need you to understand that when you give, you gain. It is a guarantee every time. Every time you give something up, you're going to gain something. And we see that on both sides of the spectrum, that when you give up what God has for you, the plans and the purposes that God has for you, you're going to gain something. It may not be the gain that you expected it to be, but you're going to gain something. And I guarantee in the end, it will be heartache and sorrow. When you give up what God has created you for, what He made you for, you may think you're giving this up because you got something better in the end. You're not going to find happiness in that. I know that. I did it. I knew that God called me into ministry years ago. And I've told some of you this story. That there was a time in my life that God said, I'm going to give you a choice, Jason. You can step into ministry at this moment, or you can play rugby. And my heart, I wanted to play top-level rugby. I wanted to play Canada. That was my hopes and my dreams at that moment. So I gave up ministry. I said, God, I want that. And God said, I'm going to give you exactly what you asked for. And I did. I gained it. I played top level. I've played with the best in Canada. What did I get for it? Head injuries. But then when God came back and said, okay, Jason, are you done now? Are you willing to give that up and gain what it is I truly have for you? And finally I came to a point where I said, yes, God. I'm willing to give up what the world says, because everyone said, of course you want to give up that. Of course you want to play the top of what you do. You want to be considered one of the best at what you do in the country. Of course you want that. But God said, I got so much more from you. I've created you for something more. You will never find true happiness until you give up what this world says. Because when you do give that up, and you say, God, I'm all in. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to deny the things that I want, the things that I desire. And I'm going to put all my focus on what you have. So I will deny and I will give up, but the gain that I will receive is true fulfillment. Because you were created to glorify God. Everything in you, every atom in you was created to glorify God. I know this because everything in this world is created to glorify God. If we do not, the rocks and trees will cry out because they are created to glorify God. And if you want true fulfillment and you want true happiness in your life, God is saying, you need to give this up. Now, I don't know what it is in your life, and I guarantee, because there's still things in my life that I have to give up daily, that I have to deny myself and say, God, I'm not going to follow this passion. I'm not going to do this because I want to put my focus on you and say, God, what is it that you would have me do instead? And when we truly give that up, then we gain the world. And we know this, especially because in actually the verse right after this, our main text, in Matthew 16:26, it says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? I like how the preacher Jonathan Edwards puts it. The great Christian duty is self-denial, which consists of two things. First, in denying worldly inclinations and its enjoyments. And second, in denying self-exaltation and renouncing one's self-significance and being empty of self. The world's going to tell you that you need to do everything for yourself. If it makes you happy in that moment, it's good. You need to build yourself up. God is saying you need to empty yourself. Because when we truly empty ourselves of everything that we want, we're leaving ourselves as an empty, open vessel. And God says, I got so much to pour into you. Church, God has so much more to pour into you. It's amazing. We have amazing stalwarts of faith here. This week, I was so blessed to be able to come into the luncheon that our wise people put on. And to be in a room with that much wisdom makes me feel just that much less wise. But even the people in that room, there's still going to be passions and desires that they're going to have. And daily, we need to sanctify ourselves and say, God, I need to die to myself daily. Because yes, yesterday I didn't do it. But today, I might want to do it. I don't know what struggles you have in your life. I don't know if you deal with doom scrolling. Maybe you have an issue with pornography. Maybe you have an issue with how you speak. You have an issue with anger. God is saying these are all things that you were not made for. That you will not find joy or peace or happiness. I've doom scrolled. I found no peace in the end of it because it's endless. There's always another meme. So no matter what we do, we need to have our hearts follow Christ and Christ alone. And as we do this, because we're going no longer going to look at what the world wants, we now have to need to take our time and we need to set our focus. And what are we going to set our focus on? We're going to set our focus not on the things of this earth, but we're going to set our focus on the things of heaven. When we deny our own selfish ambitions and desires, we can open up our hearts and our minds to what God has for us and where he desires to lead us. We deny ourselves and we accept what God has for us. And in doing so, it's important that we don't just think about, okay, God, what do we want? What do you want me to do? And when we truly open up our minds to it, we can look at Psalms 139. Now, Psalms 139, if you have not read through Psalms 139, I would say that is probably my favorite chapter in the Bible. I absolutely love it because it talks about who God knows who I am. That God knew me before I ever was. He knew every cell in me, the ins and the outs. That my God knows me, and everything that he has for me is for good. I want you to know that God knows you. He knows everything about you, and he has nothing but good things in store for you. So when we stop looking at ourselves and we focus on God and say, God, what do you have for me? God has good things for you. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to have true joy and happiness. In Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I pray every day we wake up, and that is our prayer. Say, God, look into me, who I am. You know my thoughts and my desires. Search me. And get rid of anything that is not of you. And fill my cup. Fill me with your thoughts, with your desires. And when we're truly filled with God's desires, I can tell you this, I know this for real. Because all the times I played rugby, I scored tries, I did everything, I made big hits. I've played other countries, I played South Africa. One of my greatest moments is my team beat South Africa. And I thought, this is the greatest moment of my life. Other than my kids being born. Make sure you tell my wife I said that. But I thought this was the greatest. I made big plays in that game. I'm like, I was on point. Yeah, it felt good for a little while afterwards. But it was fleeting. After that, it was, what's next? I guess I gotta do something else. Compared to, I tell you right now, as I'm standing up here speaking with you, and I've spoken to at many youth camps, every time I speak God's words, it's not fleeting. The joy that I find, the peace that I find, because I know I'm doing what God called me to do. And it's not a momentary joy. It's not, I won this game. I did this one thing. It's, I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. I know I'm doing what you created me to do. And I can tell you right now, there is no greater joy, there's no greater fulfillment than when we truly put aside what the world says that we should be attaining and say, God, what is it that you would have my heart attain? David knew this. David asked him to continue to look in him and look for his truth. The truth of the word of God. In John 16, verse 36, it says, when the spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And whatever he declares to you are the things that are to come. When the Holy Spirit speaks into your life, and you know that as God speaking directly to you, you know it's truth. And it's an eternal truth. It's an objective truth. God desires us to lead us in truth. He desires for us to follow him to where he has. And to do this, we need to be sober-minded. This is something that God has really spoken to me about in the last, I'd say, year. Is when you read through the scripture, especially in the Pauline letters, it comes up a number of times being sober-minded. And there's so many times I just read over and thought, sober-minded, whatever. But when we really look at what sober-minded means to be without any other distraction. When someone is sober, when we're talking about alcohol or drugs, it means that they are without those in their systems. And we are sober-minded, it means that we're without any influences of the world. God is saying, I don't want the distractions of this world to turn you away. When we wake up in the morning, is the first thing we do? Yeah, it is. Don't lie. Because my wife does it next to me every morning. No, sorry. No, because we've all done it. We wake up and we reach for the phone. If you're from a generation before that, you wake up, you sit down, you read the newspaper. Because we want to know what the world sees. But if we're truly sober-minded, we're not taking in any of that. I'm not saying to don't look at your phone, not to use social media. I like memes. As you get to know me, I'll probably send you some. But what I'm saying is, what is the true influence in our lives? Who's really speaking into us? Are we allowing that to be the world, or are we allowing that to be Christ? And as we step into this, and I'm so excited that we as a church, and I truly believe that we as a church are going to step into this, and I pray that all of you are all in with me on this. But as we do this, I'm going to encourage you, don't look back. Don't look back. As we move into this, as we follow Christ, as we live deeply into who God wants us to be, don't look back. It's going to be easy because I'm not going to tell you that following Christ is easy. If I did, I'm a liar and I shouldn't be up here. Why? Because the Word of God tells you that following Christ is not easy. But I can tell you one thing. I told you about the puke buckets. It wasn't easy. Did I like running those stairs? Did I like hitting the gym that hard? No. There's a reason why my gym is called the House of Pain. Because it's not easy. And it's going to be easy to want to look back and go, oh, life was so much easier back then. But I encourage you not to look back. There's an amazing story in the Bible of Lot and his wife. And as they're running out of the city, there was the instruction of don't look back. But what did Lot's wife do? She looked back. And when we look at the word, the Hebrew word that they actually used there was nabat. And what that word actually means is that she didn't just look back, is that she looked back with favor or pleasure or care. She looked back at a comfortable life. Because when she was in Sodom, she had comforts. And she was running away from what the world said is a comfortable place. And God said, don't look back at that. But she said, there's comfort back there. There's what I know. There's what I've always done. Don't look back. In Luke 9:61, it says, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I probably should have put the verses before that in also, because I'm not going to lie, this is a hard teaching. Because the verse before that says there's another guy who said, yeah, I want to follow you, but let me go bury my family first. And Jesus said, no, let the dead take care of themselves. There's going to be instances in your life where you're like, God, I want to follow you, but let me just go do this thing first. God is saying, if you follow me, you're all in. Don't look back. Church, I pray from this moment on that we are all in. And when we're all in, we don't look back. We don't look at what was. We don't look at what had been, what could have been. Oh, but we did things this way. We're following Christ. We're all in for what he wants, and let his Spirit give us truth and guidance. And although there may be comfortable things back there, there may have been an easier way of doing things back there, God is saying, you're all in now. There's a call. There's a mission. Church, there's a mission that God has for you, that God has for me. And I'm going to say it time and time again in the weeks coming up, because I truly want you to understand that we are here for a purpose. I know that there's so many who already have that in their heads, but I want you to be thinking about it daily. God, I'm all in for you. What can I do for you? How can I grow in you? And as we start doing that, God is going to start opening up new revelation to us. God's going to start showing us things that we never thought possible. God is going to say, I want you to do this. You're going to say, God, I can't do that. I don't have the skills or the ability to do that. God says, exactly. You don't have the skills or the ability to do that. Because if you did, it would be of your own fruition. You would receive the glory. But God says, he deserves the glory. And so when he does it, it's all in him. So as we finish up today, I want to share a verse from Philippians that highlights the importance of not looking back. Philippians 3:13-14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward for what lies ahead, I press towards the goal and for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Church, family, people, God has something great for you. You have no idea the plans that God has for you. And I pray that God continues and starts to give you a vision of what he wants to do. And as he starts to show you, you're going to start saying, God, you're crazy. That's not possible. But we serve a God of the impossible, because there is no impossible with my God. And what he says he will do. So as we start moving forward into this new season, the other week I told you, it's boots to the ground time. It's time to get the hands dirty. It's time to get some work done. And I'm so excited to be laboring right alongside you, because I want to get my hands dirty. But I also want to take this time and I want to run some stairs. I want to hit the gym. If anyone actually wants to hit the gym with me, give me a hit up, because I love hitting the gym. But it's time for us to be all in. And in doing so, we're going to have to deny some things. We're going to have to turn away from some of these things. But there's so much more ahead. There's so much more ahead, church. Amen. Do you truly believe that there is so much more ahead? I know you do, because I've been able to speak with some of you, and there's such a joy and an excitement. And you've infected me with that. And my family, because we are so expecting. I'm actually a little bit scared. Because I'm like, God, what are you doing here? It can't be as good as you're showing me. And God is like, yeah, it is. Because he's put a lot of work into this place. He's put a lot of work into you. So now as a community, as a group, let's go all in. Let's run some stairs. Let's get the puke buckets out. How many times do you think you hear the word puke in one message? Right? I'll say it a few more times just to make it. No. But church, I'm all in. I'm here. My family's here with you. And God is going to do something great. Amen? Amen. You want to stand with me?